Yeah. And yo, Black, it's time.
Bird, it's time.
It's time, man.
All right. Begin.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I like to know.
Are you ready for start time?
Yeah. Okay, well, let me kind of move these things around here, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what this is coming down through the audience, but look like he just came out of the basement.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, because now...
Get ready.
Yeah. We dedicate this to these people out here getting banged.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted.
And I own this $500 million shiny suit.
Looking like a bag of money.
Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
You see this watch? That watch costs more than your car. I made $970,000 last year. How much you make?
Somebody in the house say yeah. Yeah. If y'all really like to rock the funky beats, somebody in the house say hell yeah. Yeah. I like that for the people up top. Check this out.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing. If you want to work here, close.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. We are your Ball Street Journal reporters. This is the Ball Street Journal. I'm Floyd, D and Ryan. How you guys doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic. You know, for the fans out there, we're getting a bit older as host of this show. So I know all of us are looking into working out and trying to find ways to better ourselves. So we've got a great show for you today. But before we get into that, as always, got to turn it over to one of the best co-hosts in the game, Ronnie. How you doing?
Doing great, D. Yeah, we're going to be on the run a little bit, 100 miles and running like NWA. Got a special guest to talk about runningnerds.com and the Atlanta running scene. But before we bring her into the conversation, you got to run out Camelton Road to my main man, Floyd. What's going on, sir?
Feeling good, feeling great. Always a pleasure and a privilege to have this conversation and to share that with our fans. You can always check us out on Twitter at Section 357, where you can listen to old shows or just chat with us about what's happening in the sports world. Guys, as you mentioned, I wanted to talk about the running community. There's been a lot of talk recently as it relates to what happened in Boston with the Boston Marathon bombing. So we felt like this was a bigger opportunity to talk about running as a lifestyle and to get some perspective on how we all can get, I guess, more acquainted with that lifestyle and maybe start our own journey as runners. So with that, we have here, sitting in with the Section 357 show, Tess Sobol-Meehan, who is the executive director of Running Nerds. Tess, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys today?
Feeling good, feeling great. Happy to have you in with us. Tess, first off, let's get into Running Nerds just off the top. Talk about Running Nerds. Talk about what your purpose is and the community that you serve.
Oh, well, Running Nerds is basically just a facilitator of the running community. We're based here in Atlanta. I've been very blessed to just kind of use the whole Running Nerd banner to put on some great races, help start some running groups, and really just get people excited and informed about running as an option for their health and fitness. There's definitely a large and very active running community here in Atlanta, so it's a great place to kind of build a base. And, you know, we've just done some really fun and innovative things in the running community this last year, and trying to grow and just grow the lifestyle for the people of Atlanta and worldwide.
As I've had a chance to experience with Running Nerds, and also beyond that, that running really is a lifestyle. So can you talk about sort of that lifestyle of running, and maybe some easy access points for people who maybe have not been a runner to start to, get into that?
Absolutely. Well, I think that the term lifestyle, you can think about, you know, all the different communities there are here in Atlanta. You know, there's a very large music community. There's definitely a very large kind of club and party community. You know, we're known for our nightlife, sports, things like that. So within all that, there's also a very, very active and growing population of people who enjoy participating in running groups, participating in 5K races, half marathons, 10Ks. You know, we have the largest 10K in the United States here every year, the Peachtree Road Race, and it's a sense of kind of tradition and pride for a lot of people to take place in that. But that community is functioning year-round here in the city of Atlanta. And when we use that term lifestyle, it really just means it's a part of what your everyday thing. It kind of drives what you do. Your weekends are planned around races and how many miles you have to get in during the week. And you know, it's not just something that you do as a special occasion. You know, it's part of your everyday, every week lifestyle. So I've been a part of a lot of different communities in my short time here on this earth, and the running community is definitely one of the most positive and fun and definitely rewarding communities that I've been fortunate to be a part of.
This is Derek here. Let me touch on that aspect of the running community and the social aspect of it all. But we all know what happened with the Boston bombings at the Boston Marathon, and something we haven't really touched on this show. But can you speak on that as a runner, how that affected you, how that affected your local running community, and how it felt specifically as a runner to see these people who have trained to run for so long to lose limbs in this terrible attack?
Well, I think the kind of interesting aspect of what happened in Boston and how it affected our entire country is every runner, whether you participate in a 5K, a 10K, a marathon, whatever it may be, they understand that whole idea of the finish line and, you know, going through whatever you had to go through to get to the start line and then completing that journey to get to the finish line. So when the Boston bombings occurred, it really struck a nerve with anyone who's ever experienced that, because, you know, that's a personal thing. That's a very, I guess the best way I can describe it is, you know, everyone understands that feeling of getting to the finish line, no matter how long or short your distance is or how long it took you to get there. So everyone was affected in the running community. I mean, I didn't know anyone personally that was in the line of fire. I do know a few runners who were there who had already completed their race. And then the other thing you need to keep in mind is that there weren't very many runners that were affected as far as the actual bombing. It was mostly the people on the sidelines. So you also think about how many races that you've gone and you just stayed around and cheered your friends on after you finished, or you just went out just to support your friends. I mean, I think a pedestrian or someone who is a supporter of a runner can even be affected by that, because those were the main people who got hurt were the ones who were out there watching and supporting their families. So I think it really just struck a chord with the nation because of the innocence of it. And, you know, obviously, you know, running has probably never gotten this much press in probably ever, particularly from, you know, just the entire world of sports. But, you know, it was just personal, and it was very something that everyone could relate to, because everyone's either been a spectator or, you know, runners who have participated in races. We all understand that aspect of getting to the finish line. It's a kind of a sacred thing.
when we talked about having you on, and Floyd was kind of giving us a little bit of background related to that, the Boston bombing, he said one of the things that came about it was that the running community itself felt, like you said, like it was a personal, not necessarily attack on them, but it was like, this is like our sport. And talk about that sense of community as a runner, not necessarily related to the Boston bombing, but just the running community and sort of the camaraderie and the bond between runners.
Well, I mean, I guess I can best relate it to, you know, I was a basketball coach and a basketball player majority of my life. I was always in the basketball world. You know, if you had met me probably about 5 years ago, that's probably all I could tell you, anything and everything you want to know about the NCAA, the NBA. And being a part of the running community and being a runner myself, I mean, it's just one of the most positive experiences you can have. You know, like I always joke, you know, there's no better way to spend $25-$30 on a weekend and participate in a race. You got your workout done by, got a whole bag full of free stuff, a nice shirt. And you get to meet a lot of great people. And everyone in the running community is very positive, very nice. You know, we all have different goals and different reasons why we run, but at the end of the day, we experience a lot of the same quirks and the same things. So, you know, it really does kind of bind you. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all ask ourselves the question, why do we do it? You know, you go through your aches, your pains. You know, you even hear me say every once in a while, running really does suck if you really think about it. You know, your heart's hurting, your legs are sore. But for some reason, you get up and you do it every day, you know, and you continue to do it and you get excited about races and things like that. So it's kind of hard to explain unless you do it, but, you know, thousands and thousands of people participating in races all over the nation, there must be something to it.
Can you give some context or some perspective on getting started as a runner? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people have thought about it, especially in Atlanta. The PC Road Race is a big race every year, so people always talk about running it for the first time, or even outside of that, running their first 5K. So can you give some helpful hints from your perspective on getting started as a runner, or at least making running part of your exercise lifestyle, if you will?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's really important to note that unless it's something that you have any kind of interest in, it's likely that you're probably not going to do it. You know, before I did my first 5K, which is about 3 years ago, I had no desire whatsoever to run. I had tons of friends who were doing these half marathons. I didn't even know what that really meant. I just knew the word marathon was in there, and it did not sound appealing to me. But until I got that inkling that it was something that I wanted to do, then I think the most important thing is just to know where your resources are. So, one, join a running group or find a group of people who are doing what you want to do. And I think you could use that stepping stone for any activity that you're interested in doing, whether you want to be a bowler, whether you want to become an artist, whatever it may be. Find people who are already doing what you want to do. And then find, you know, a place that's convenient to you, where you work, you know, where you live. So one of my goals with Running Nerds is to help people locate running groups in their neighborhood. So you don't have to drive all the way across the city just to, you know, participate in a group run. So establishing group runs and things like that. And then another huge piece of advice that I give people is just pick a race and sign up for it. The chances are if you put your money down on a race, you've got that date, you know, pick something that's 3 or 4 months out that gives you some time to train. Again, you're connected with the running group and people who are doing what you do, and then you're going to get tons of advice. Once you get connected with the right people, you get tons of advice. And I'm a huge, huge advocate of Facebook groups and things like that. Find some fitness groups on Facebook. There's a ton of running groups that actually have a base in Facebook, or meetup.com is another good option to find some different running groups. And, you know, just take it from there. But at the beginning, you have to have just the inkling that it's something that you want to do. So if you've even thought about it, if you're driving down the street and you see the people running down Peachtree and you're just kind of looking at them like, man, I wish I could do that, you absolutely can do it. You just got to take that first step and find out, you know, where it's happening around you. And you'd be surprised. A lot of people, I have a running group that I lead in the West Midtown neighborhood every week, and I still meet people who live in that neighborhood that don't know that we exist, even though we've been meeting there for almost a year. So find out where those people are, get connected with them, sign up for a race, and then just step out on faith and give it a try.
I'd like to talk a little bit more about you and your history, especially as a runner. As you said earlier, you were into basketball when you were younger, and I know a couple of runners, you know, kind of through my career, my friendships, and for the most part, they're all runners. They don't really get into other sports. So how did you go from being an athlete, as it sounded, in playing basketball to now being a runner? How was that transition for you?
Well, like I said, I was coaching basketball at the collegiate level. And, you know, that was probably some of the most unhealthy years of my life in terms of being on a consistent workout regimen. Everyone always assumed, oh, you coach basketball, you must be in great shape. But it was quite the contrary because I was so busy all the time recruiting and coming up with game plans and things like that. So when I had the opportunity to move to Atlanta, the first thing I wanted to do to kind of get myself accustomed to the new city. This is the first time I'd ever moved to a big city. And this was literally about 3 years ago because my anniversary race is coming up. I signed up for the Susan Komen Race for the Cure because I'd heard a lot about, you know, raising money for breast cancer. I thought it would be cool to do a race that had some kind of charitable benefit. So I signed up for the race online when I was still living in another city. And my first day in Atlanta, I went out and I did this 5K. And my whole goal was just to finish the race. I didn't have a time goal. I thought, you know, if I ran the whole time, I'd be happy with myself. And it was just kind of a fluke thing where I just signed up for it. I did it. And then I didn't run again after that race until the following February. And I signed up for a 10K with a friend. And I said, I'd be darned if I'm terrible at this 10K. So I went out and just ran by myself every week, tried to get a little bit longer on my distance before I had to stop. And after that race, I really decided that it was something I enjoyed. I loved how I saw myself get a little bit better. And I think that was kind of fueled from my history of being a competitive athlete and liking, you know, the opportunity to see myself get better and beat my own previous times, whatever it may be. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I joined a running group, and really the rest is history there. And for me, I'll add too, running is very social. You know, all of the friends that I have now, people that I hang out with, are all people that I've met through the running community. So I think that's another thing. If you're looking for kind of a boost to your social life in a positive way, you know, I've taken a ton of trips going out to races now. It really is a complete culture and lifestyle out there in the running community. So that's really how I got started. I signed up for a race and kind of took it from there.
My last question is, what is that dream race for you? I know they talk about if you're a golfer, you want to play at Augusta, or, you know, that Holy Grail. What is that dream race for you? One race, you know, that's kind of on your bucket list that you have to accomplish at some point. What is that for you?
That is a great question. Well, I really, really, really love to travel. So I don't know if I could really narrow it down to one. Because I feel like there's still some races out there that I don't even know about. But I would love to. I'm doing my first international race this summer. I'm doing a race in Vancouver, Canada. So I'm really excited about that one. But probably something that's going to be like a tropical destination where I can go and be there for like a couple days before, run the race, and then be there for like, and it like ends on a beach, and they hand you a margarita after you finish. Like, that would be my dream race. I don't know what the name of that race is. Maybe I need to plan it and put it on, but I'm thinking it's somewhere in the Caribbean or something. You know, perfect temperatures when you start. We get to go lay out on the beach, and they have, like, a big bonfire. So if you guys know what that race is, let me know, and I'm going to work towards it. And, you know, you might have thought I might have said the Boston Marathon, and the Boston Marathon is really kind of a goal dream race for a lot of runners. I'm not that fast of a marathoner, so it's not really one of my goals to qualify for the Boston Marathon. You know, like I said, I'm kind of far away from that time wise, but I definitely have some friends that are really reaching towards that goal, and you know, it's something that I would love to see them experience and support them. But for me, the whole social aspect and being able to use running as a way to travel, meet people, you know, I think that will be kind of a top of the line race for me.
Well, Tess, as we wrap up, I wanted to give you a chance to give any information about Running Nerds, let everyone know where they can get in contact with you or find out more information about Running Nerds and just connect with the running community and maybe start their own personal journey in the running lifestyle, I guess. So give all of your social media information as well as any other things that you want to share.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we've got a humble website. The website is www.runningnerdnation.com. And pretty much from there, you can connect to our all of our races in the Running Nerds Racing Series. We currently have 3 road races and 2 virtual races, and you can learn what a virtual race is by jumping on the webpage. We're on Facebook at Running Nerds, and we're also at Twitter at Running Nerds. So that's really the best way to contact us, to find out more. We have a email blast that goes out once a month to our subscribers that gives you information about different places you can run in the community, as well as upcoming races. And I always try to find some discounts because you might hear people say running is free, and absolutely is not free. It definitely costs. Once you start getting into doing races and things like that, it can be pretty pricey. But to get started is absolutely free. Just get some shoes and get the will to move and show up to a group run. But yeah, so that's the best way to get in touch with us, and I'm always happy to answer emails at runningnerds@gmail.com. If you have a basic question, if I don't know the answer, I try my best to point you in the right direction. So please feel free, anyone who's listening, to shoot me an email.
Tess Sobo Meehan, Executive Director of Running Nerds. Tess, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. I always love talking to you, and definitely when the football season comes back around, I'd like to be the first one to speak about my boy Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos as they go for the Super Bowl in 2013-14.
You got it. You heard it here first. We will have you back on, indeed, to talk about your boy Peyton Manning, for sure.
All right.
Alcohol or something like it. Ron, what do you have, man?
Big shout out to the Running Nerd family out there. Now you are part of the Second 357 family, so definitely we'll be checking you all out. Thanks again for Tess for being a great guest. That's my final shout out for the day.
Hey, last call for alcohol or something like it. What do you have, man?
Like I said earlier, we haven't touched on it much on the show, but something that happened a couple weeks back to the sporting community, our hearts and prayers go out to all the people affected by the Boston bombings. Not sure how many fans we have in the Boston area, but I'm sure we have fans that are still somehow connected. So I want to give our prayers out to all the people that were affected in that huge tragedy.
And for me, we always want to give love to our fans out there. So my last call always goes out to the fans. Thank you all for checking us out. Find us on Twitter at Section 357, on Tumblr, on Facebook, on the Stitcher app for mobile devices, as well as on iTunes. So with that being said, good luck to you and your sports team, your favorite sports team, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.